Our text is found in the first chapter we read in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 11, and we shall read again at verse 6. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 at verse 6. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand. For thou knowest not whether shall prosper, either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. Amen. The subject of the text clearly is that of sowing. And we might say that there is a sowing of a physical kind, familiar to those to whom Solomon was writing, and to many today, and at this time of the year, preparations being made for sowing the ground. But is there not also a spiritual sowing? And is that not the more important of the two? And with regard to this spiritual sowing, we are all engaged in it. Many do not realize that. We are sowing for eternity. While we are here, we are engaged in our lives, day to day, in terms of thoughts, desires, words, deeds, and God is taking note of them all. And when we think of our lives in their totality, what is our aim, our purpose? Are we, as we very much hope we are, sowing in a way that glorifies God? Or are we, as we came into this world, sowing to please ourselves, living our lives just as everyone else does, and living them for this world only, with no thought for a coming eternity? Well, we trust we are sowing with eternity in view, and with the glory of our God very much at the forefront of our minds. And in sowing, we hope we are growing in grace, that the word of God is very much part of our daily lives. We take it up in the morning. We take it up in the evening. It is that which we think upon, reflect upon. It is that which we endeavor to speak when we have opportunity to others, that they might learn the truth also, the truth of the gospel. And the word of God is that, is it not, which we seek to live by in our daily course, the various activities we are engaged in. In this way, we are ripening, in a sense, for the great harvest that is coming. The harvest at the end of time, which God Himself will reap. And it may very well be that our life is reaped before the final harvest, which is at the return of Christ Himself. How we sow is so very important. And as believers, we desire the guidance of Scripture as to how day and daily we might be sowing spiritually to God's glory, and for our own good. The subject then is sowing to the Lord. That is how we should view our earthly lives. By His grace, we are sowing to Him. Our lives are lived in God by faith, and thereby we may prosper inwardly, even while others prosper outwardly. We were singing in the psalm of how the psalmist had never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. The Lord will take care of His own in material things. They shall not lack any good thing. But He requires us to seek first His kingdom, His righteous kingdom, and then we shall have all necessities provided by His bountiful hand. We shall consider briefly two things. Firstly, the principles of this sowing, and then the practice of this sowing. The principles of sowing, and they are really inflexible, and they are fairly obvious, whether it is the natural sowing we've referred to, or spiritual sowing. And the first thing is this: identity. If you want to reap something, you must sow accordingly. If you would of God reap the harvest of everlasting life, then you must sow accordingly. This is brought out by the Apostle Paul when he writes to the Galatians and in his final chapter, verses 7 and 8. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Sow a worldly life, and you will reap a life that has no interest in God, no aim at glorifying God. You will reap a life that you will have for all eternity, which will know nothing at all of the goodness and loving kindness of God. So we must sow in accordance with what God prescribes for a blessed eternity. And Paul continues, he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. That makes it very clear. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And he says, let us not be weary in well-doing. It is difficult in our present godless age to be occupied in a way that the world disregards and even scorns, that we who profess the name of Jesus Christ seek to sow each day not to the flesh, but to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of grace. We must sow what we desire to reap. Now in the Word of God you have good seed, the very best. It has such a wonderful potential. What blessing the Word of God brings. You know that in your own life. You've experienced the power of the Holy Spirit, His gracious work. That is what brought you to Christ. And that is how you continue with Christ. And that is how your soul prospers. The Word of God, eternal truth. In that Word, we have the glorious gospel of divine grace. Salvation in Christ Jesus. It is to be sown in our own lives. And we do that every time we pick up the Bible, in our own devotions perhaps, and read it. And for profit, we are to read it prayerfully, seeking God's blessing. Also, when we hear it read and preached in public worship, and to pray over the word that we hear at every service. But we have a calling also to sow that word ourselves in the lives of others. And we do have many opportunities to do that. We can bring the word of God into our conversation. Not in a confrontational way, but in a natural way. It should be like that. If God's word is your daily bread, if you're reading it regularly, if it's in your heart and mind, there's a natural overflow from that in your conversation, even when you may be speaking to those who are very much of the world. And we should not be intimidated, as it were, by the thought of speaking in reference to the scriptures when we are with those who do not have faith in Jesus Christ. If we speak in a natural way, a heartfelt way, concerning Jesus Christ, who he is, what he means to us, the hope we have in him, well then, we may be sure that we shall obtain a hearing, especially if we have approached it prayerfully. Sowing the seed, that is our work in terms of making that word known. It is, of course, the Spirit's work to bless it, to make it work, to realize its potential, to effectually, powerfully use the truth of Scripture in the lives of those that hear it. The Spirit is well able to open the heart, the mind, the understanding, that the Word may address the conscience and bring light to those who are in darkness. Identity, that is one principle, but also quantity. And we have in mind what Paul writes to the Corinthians in his second epistle and in chapter 9. And by quantity, we have in view what we read in chapter 9 and verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. And that is very easy to follow. If we never say anything for the Lord, not even a word of testimony, a word of guidance or encouragement to another, well, there is not going to be any result. We may be Christians, sincere Christians, but if that is not known to others, if they never hear a word from us concerning Christ, we are not really doing that which God calls us to do. Now everyone has a different ability, a gift or strength. Some lack the boldness to bear witness to Christ, but we should all be endeavouring by his grace to willingly speak a word in season concerning our Lord and his salvation. The more we sow humbly, prayerfully, the more that may be reaped, the more that others may be blessed by God. There is no benefit in withholding the word of God. Why did God give the word to the church? Psalm 68. God gave the word. The Lord gave it. Great was the company of them that published it. And that very much applies to the New Testament age and to our own day. It is necessary that people worldwide hear the gospel of Christ. And to that end, it is necessary that the word of God be translated into the various languages of the world. Then people can hear of Christ in their very own tongue and be blessed by the Spirit of God. Without the divine word, without the truth concerning Christ, sinners remain in their unbelief and their spiritual death. And to the people of God in general, not only to ministers, the word is given that it may be passed on, in writing perhaps, a text, a gospel, a tract, but also in speaking. And let it be speech and life and speech consistent one with the other. A Christ-like life is indeed a witness, and even more when the lips are opened and the truth is made known to needy souls. So we remember identity. We must sow what we desire to reap, and quantity. The more we sow, the more we may expect to reap. As a personal application, in terms of our own reading, meditating upon the word, and with reference also to others. Then the practice of sowing. And Solomon is giving in the text particular directions for that. An application to believers. They're sowing to the Spirit in terms of their fruitfulness, and also what God may do through their witness in the lives of others. And there are three things that we can take from our text by way of instruction and exhortation. Firstly, we are to sow continually. In the morning, sow thy seed, and in the evening, withhold not thine hand. It is our duty to be sowing. Always. We must sow in the morning of our lives, in our youth. That is obvious with regard to natural sowing. You need a certain strength to labor in this. But it is also true, as we learn from the beginning of chapter 12, that we should be sowing in our young years spiritually. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. It is a great blessing, dear friends, if we have had the word of God in our childhood and youth, and if we have sought the Lord early and found him, and so are able by God's grace to live the greater part of our lives for the Lord. Also, though, we are to sow throughout our lives, even unto the evening of our lives, our old age. It is a great blessing for us to meet with believers who have been following Christ for many years, and who are even now in their old age, perhaps weak physically, but still very strong spiritually. We get a blessing to be with them, a blessing to listen to them, especially when their conversation, the thing they really want to speak about and to share with us about, is the Lord. That encourages us to press on, not to slack, and to make good use of what time remains to us in this world. All in all, there is never any retirement for the Christian. Never. You're a Christian all your life long. You're serving the Lord all your life long. Perhaps you've had some specific Christian calling. You're not able to fulfill that any longer. But as a Christian, being a Christian, that clearly continues until it pleases the Lord to take us home. And there's a certain attitude which Solomon warns against in verse 4. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the cloud shall not reap. Now he's taking that from the natural sowing and harvesting. And you have the farmer who's always looking at the weather, always thinking the weather's turning bad, it's not going to be right today, it's not a day for doing the work, sowing or reaping, and so it's left undone. And perhaps the end of the season, the appropriate time for doing that thing, sowing or reaping, it's come and gone, and the work has not been done. Even as Christians, we can easily put off things. That's the tendency that we often have. And we need to be stirred up by the word of God, by a sense of our indebtedness to the Lord, and constrained by his love and our love to him, to be always occupied with the King's business. It's for the Lord's glory that we are to live, not to please ourselves. When Christ died, he made a purchase. Purchase of salvation, yes. But the purchase of a people, a saved people, who are his. His property, his possession. And so we should see our lives as to be for Christ, at his disposal, that he might use us as it pleases him in his cause, in his kingdom, for the upbuilding of it, and for the blessing of others. We are to sow obediently in the text we have, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper, which shall prosper, and we do not know when, and we do not know how the Lord may be pleased to bless his word to ourselves or to others. Perhaps you go for a time in your own reading of the Bible. You're dutiful about it. Every day a chapter, perhaps in the morning, in the evening. And you do not really feel as though you're getting much from the word. It seems to be very dry. It can be the same with the preaching. And then the temptation is, I'll just leave it alone. Perhaps I'll come back to the Bible when I feel more spiritually alive. I'm not getting anything at the present. And perhaps you might feel that in a similar way when you attempt to bear witness to Christ. You speak to this one and that one, and they never show any further interest. They don't come back with questions. You've even encouraged someone to come to God's house with you, to public worship, but they've never taken up your offer to take them. The temptation is to give up in a sense, but we're not to do that. We serve a sovereign God. He is sovereign in his grace. He will use the word as he sees fit. And in his time, he will bless his word, even a word that we may have spoken to another, even an invitation to another to come to public worship. And we must be praying in all our speaking, before, during, after, that God would bless what we say. The truth that we are able to convey. He has the power to change men's hearts, to move their wills, to give them that desire for himself, for Christ, for salvation. To be diligent, it is not easy. There are many discouragements. But think of just one soul, potentially blessed by something you're able to do, your prayer, your word, your deed. And what a blessing that is, when you think of that soul and eternity, and God may have made use of you to help that precious soul on the way to glory. That soul beginning to seek Christ, or that believer who was discouraged, and you spoke a word that was uplifting and strengthening, and that saint was able to go on. The Lord blessed the word that you spoke. And then finally, we are to sow confidently. Confidently. Again, at the end of the text now, either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. A reference there to sowing in the morning, sowing in the evening. neither might be blessed, but both might be blessed. One might be blessed, the other not. Again, that is not our concern. God is glorified when his word is declared, even if no one should believe it. But sinners are blessed when the word of God is made known, and the Lord himself blesses it by his Spirit, and he will do so. We may be sure of that. Eternity will reveal what the Lord did through poor, feeble efforts of his own dear people to make the gospel of Christ known. We have a promise, a precious one, in Isaiah's prophecy, chapter 55 and verse 10 and 11. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Press on then, and seek God's help to bear witness to him, in his name to serve him, and praying all the while that the word that is his, he would cause to be blessed to those you have the privilege of bearing testimony concerning Christ to. And the Lord will, in his time, bless that testimony. May the Lord bless his words. Let us pray. We give thanks, O Lord, for thy truth. And our desire and prayer is that the word may go forth from thy people, from the pulpit, in our own congregation, in other places of worship in our island, in our nation, and to the ends of the earth. And that the day will be hastened when the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the glory of God, as the waters cover the sea, the Spirit blessing the truth to many needy souls. Encourage us then, and may we know something of the boldness of faith and confidence of faith in thine own promises. Hear us and forgive us, for Jesus' sake. Amen.